each other. And we will not be having the film tonight. The Lord had other plans for us, evidently. I really don't know what to tell you we'll have tonight. The film didn't come. And it's the first time that's ever happened. And so that means something else is on the way. And so you don't want to miss the service tonight. We'll be having the Lord's Supper. And we'll probably be having some testimonies and special singing and no telling what else. So you don't want to miss the service tonight at 7 o'clock. And then the services all this week. Of course, you want to be in them too. The ladies' Bible study will meet at Sister Melanie Durham's at Tuesday night at 7. Our visitation Thursday morning at 7. I mean Thursday morning at 10, Thursday night at 7. And then our bus meeting, street preachers meeting, Saturday morning at 8:30. And so get in on these services. The Lord will bless you for it. But so today, when the service is over, I want you to... about the kites. I forgot to mention about the kites. All the kids who are in Sunday school, well, the ones who come to Sunday school, below teenage level, you need to line up for your kites today. They're in Jesus Loves You kites to fly around and march this morning for all the kids below teenage. They need to line up back at the back there and go out that side door, and they'll be ready to give them to them. So all the kids, as soon as service is over, just get in line back there, and you'll go out that side door to get your kite. Don't forget that. All right, in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Now, we're just going to be brief this morning, just bring you a few thoughts. Very, very brief. And I just pray for us that God will just take these few thoughts and use them for His glory. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all behold, all things are become new. What you saw up here a few minutes ago has already preached a great sermon. What you saw and heard as these men come across this platform has already told a lot about what Jesus Christ can do. The Lord said, "Ye shall be witnesses." And what these men done a while ago was they witnessed to the saving power of Jesus Christ. If you're an atheist or an agnostic or somebody who says there's nothing to salvation in the old-time religion, you are going to have to refute and find out why those men said what they said a while ago. You have personal testimonies to reckon with. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, if a man gets saved, he's a new creature. He's brand new. And the number 8 is the number of new beginning. God makes 7 and then 8 always starts the cycle over again. You got 7 notes on the musical scale. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. Fa, sol, la, ti. And then do is the same as the first one. It always starts all over again. God made the world 6 days, rested the 7th. The first day starts all over again. The 8th is the first, the number of new beginning. On this 8th anniversary this morning, I'd like to talk to you about new things in a new creature. Let's bow our heads while we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for our health and our strength. All the many, 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 many blessings of life, God, that You've given us. We pray that You'd forgive our sins. Wash us in the blood of Jesus. Make us whole and pure in the blood of the Lamb. Thank You for what You've done for us. Thank You for what You are doing, what You're going to do. Bless this service this morning. Save that one which is lost. Encourage that one who thinks it's not for him or not for her. Lord, to come to Jesus this morning, become a new creature. And Lord, anoint these lips of clay with that special touch and that special fire and that special power that we need to declare Your word. And whatever You do for us, we'll praise You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to bring you a brief message this morning on the subject, new things in the new creature. Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. In the month of April 1972, at Nebo Baptist Church, I became a brand new person. The old Danny died, and the old life passed away, and God gave me a new life. From that moment on, I've not been everything I should have been, everything I could have been. But I'll tell you one thing, I've been a new person ever since the night the Lord saved me. Alright, you can go to have you ever been to a restaurant, and you sit down in this restaurant, and you get real disappointed, and before you even get your food, you say, I'll never come back here again. The tablecloth's not clean. The waitress comes out picking her nose, and she's got soup all over her dress. And she comes out like that, and her hair's all stringy, and looks like about 40 or 5 or 50 of them fall out every 2 or 3 hours. And she waits on you, and you finally order something. She comes out in a little bit and with a bowl of soup and got her thumb stuck in your soup. And she sits that down on the table, and you got raisin biscuits, and when you reach to get one of your biscuits, the raisins fly away. And the next thing you know, boy, you're about sick before you leave, and it's hot and sweaty. You always look back in one of those places and see one of those big old cooks in there, weigh about 400 pounds, and with a t-shirt about that much of his belly hanging out, just mopping that sweat and handling your bread and your meat and everything. You say, Lord, I'll never come back here again. I hate this place. It's sickening. It's despisable. I can't stand it. And then one day, you're driving down the road, and you see a sign out front, that same little greasy spoon, and it says this, open under new management. And you say, a new manager's took over. And you go in there, boy, and a nice man greets you at the door. And the floors are spotless. Look like you can eat off of them. And they're real shiny, and they have nice clean tablecloths. And a nice waitress with her hair comb comes out and waits on you. And they serve you and have 3 or 4 different kinds of spoon. Never, not even got no food on them. They're all pretty, and your food is superb. And man, everything's just wonderful. And you said the food is excellent. And boy, you say, the new manager is what made the difference. Well, you know, a new manager, sometimes you'll see an old sinner. I think about old Tater over there, and some of these boys, you saw him the first time he ever come in here, you'd have thought, boy, what an excuse for a human being. And you saw old things in their life that wasn't pleasing. But one day they come and got a new manager. And he put up a sign and said, open under new management. And brother, it's been different ever since. You see some old sinner living for the devil, and then all of a sudden something changes. He gets a new manager on the inside. Now God created man in his own image. The devil has tried to destroy what God created. So when you get born again, God makes a brand new you on the inside of you. That's the difference between being born again and just reforming. A man can say, I'm going to quit drinking, or I'm going to quit cussing, or I'm going to quit beating my wife, or running around on my husband, or something like that, you know. And he can say, oh, I'm going to quit all that stuff. And all he does is just reform and make a new direction. He's the same old man trying to lead a different life. Now that's a lot different from getting saved. A lot of people say, boy, I've got saved. And you say, really? What happened? And they say, I've straightened up. I've quit running around. I'm going to church. That's good, but that ain't getting saved. Getting saved is something that God does for you on the inside of you in your heart. And the things you once loved, you now begin to hate. There's something inside of you that was not there before. How many of you people in here this morning could testify to the fact that there's something or someone on the inside of you that did not used to be there before you got saved? Raise your hand. Oh, why don't you look around here this morning, over 200 or 300 hands lifted up of people who can say, there's something inside of me now that did not used to be inside of me before I got saved. I've heard them say, I tried to quit drinking. I tried to quit cussing. I tried to quit smoking dope. I tried to quit doing that. And every time I'd start to do it, it seemed like I wouldn't last. But ever since God saved me, there's been something on the inside that won't let me go. That it's always there. Now, I know I've been born again. You know I've been born again this morning. I know I was born the first time because I'm standing right here to prove it, flesh and blood. And I know I was born the second time, because for the past 12 years, there's been something on the inside of me that just squeezes my heart. And boy, I can think something bad, and something says, you shouldn't ought to do that. And when I do right, I feel good. And when I do wrong, I feel bad. I know that I've been made a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know there's a lot of people don't believe it, but that's beside the point. Just as long as I know it, that's all that matters. See, you know, a man loves sin. A man loves sin while he's a sinner. When he gets saved, he realized that sin nailed Jesus to a cross. So he loves Jesus, and then he starts hating sin. And I'm not saying a saved person can't sin, but I am saying a saved person can't love it like they once did. A saved person, if a man is saved, he can go out and sin, he can mess up his life, he can do a lot of things bad, but you'll never enjoy sin after you've been to Calvary like you could have before you came, brother. I mean, there's something on the inside of you that just didn't used to be there, and as the old saying goes, you're ruined as far as this world goes. God puts something inside of a man when he saves him. I tell you, brother, God don't do no halfway jobs. The Holy Ghost of God puts something inside of you when you get saved that sin may be attractive and you may still want to do it, but it never does have the same pleasure as it used to have before you got saved. Never will. Never will. One of the most miserable people in the world is a saved man trying to sin and enjoy it like he did before he got saved. You ever seen anybody do that? Boy, they'll come to church, glory to God, hallelujah, everything's wonderful, and get saved, give up all their sins. And then first thing you know, they start wanting to slip back and be like they used to. They look so dumb. It's like a sheep trying to be a goat. It just don't work. You're a sheep no matter what you think about it or what you do about it. And you'll never be a goat again. You can go out here and go, however a goat goes. And brother, you'll never be a goat. You can't. I've heard them say, well, I'll just go get drunk. And trying to drink beer. They just look funny. I mean, you say, Brother Danny, can a saved person drink a beer? Are you kidding? Saved person can do anything but go to hell. I can do anything else. But I tell you, brother, this morning, saved people mess up a lot, but they'll never feel the same way about sin that they once did. It'll never bring the same enjoyment. You love the gospel. You love to see other people saved. You know, if a man's saved, even though he's out of the will of God, when he hears about somebody else getting saved, he gets a blessing even though he's backslid. And brother, I mean, the most miserable people in the world are people who are saved but are trying to live for the devil. That's the most miserable person in the world. You're interested in heaven. Have you ever been backslid and just trying to live like the devil, you know, and everything? And then these guys at work bring up the subject of the Bible and they don't know what they're talking about, you know, but you know what they're talking about. And you'd like to just sit down and explain it to them about the rapture and everything. But you say, Lord, I can't do that. They'll know I'm a hypocrite. And you just feel miserable. You're ruined, man. You've had it. Once you ever come to Calvary, once you ever throw up that white flag and say, God, I'm saved, son, you might as well just get in line and enjoy the trip home, brother, because God made a new person out of you. I want you to know you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. You may go back and be meaner than the devil, but you'll never be the same as you once was. Well, let me mention just a few things right quickly, and I'm just going to take a minute or two and do this. There's several new things in the new creation. Number one, a man has a new aim. A man has a new aim. When a man gets saved, he's got a new aim. You know what this aim is? His aim is to please the Lord. In verse number 9, the Bible said, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. We may be accepted of Him. This was not there before. Before I got saved, I had no desire to please God. Before I got saved, there was only one thing I worried about, and that was afraid I might go to hell. I didn't care nothing about pleasing God. I couldn't have cared less. You know who I was pleasing? Myself. I done what I wanted to do. Went where I wanted to go. But after you get saved, there's something happens, you automatically want to start pleasing Him. Not only that, number two, you have a new association.
You get a brand new crowd to run with when you get saved. Thank God for that. You know, I've seen a lot of young people, and they say, well, I just can't give up my friends. If you only knew what a good group of friends God would give you, if you'd dump that bunch, why, you'd give them up just like that. With friends like you've got, you don't need no enemies. I mean, if they'll give you the dope and get you partying and never try to keep you out of hell, what kind of friends you've got, you don't even need any enemies. Don't worry about your friends. Brother God will give you a new association. They'll drop you. You don't have to worry about dropping them. You get right with God, they'll drop you like a hot potato. I've had people come to church a lot of time, and they'll get saved. And they'll say, preacher, what am I going to do about my friends? I say, just keep going like you're going. You won't have to worry about them. You don't have to say, boys, don't come around me no more, son. They won't be around long. By the time they can tell by looking at you, something's new. Not only that, but you have a new attitude. You have a new attitude. In verse number 15, it says that we are to live unto Him. When a man becomes a new creature, he's got a new attitude. He looks at things different. Before you get saved, all you think about is, how can I build myself? How can I push myself? How can I prosper? How can I have a better car? How can I have a better house? How can I do this? How can I do that? How can I do that? Well, when you get saved, you start thinking, well, how can I maybe help somebody else? God's been good to me. I believe I'll just start helping somebody else. Isn't that amazing? You go out here and you talk to people that are not saved. They got two cars in the garage. They got a nice big home, buck stove, air conditioned. I mean, all $700 set of pots and pans, and have everything money could all ask for, and diamond rings and everything in the world, brother. And you say, are you happy? No, my job ain't doing this, and that blankety blank boss man made me work overtime and this and that. They're never satisfied. But when a man gets saved, he starts saying, glory to God, look how the Lord's blessed me. I got a nice home to live in. I've got a car to drive. I've got a church to go to. I've got a Bible to read. I've got a heaven to look forward to. He's just got a new attitude. He's got a new attitude. Now, by that comparison, I kind of wonder about some people by the attitude they've got. I kind of worry about some people's salvation by the attitude they display. Brother, you show me a person that just wants to live for themselves and build themselves and never care about nobody else, I'll show you a person that it's doubtful if they're a Christian at all. I'm not saying they're not, but it's doubtful. Not only that, well, you know how your attitude is. Before you get saved, you say, I hate her guts. I'll see her in you know where. For I'll apologize. Now, after you get saved, it's like this. I hate her guts. But I guess I'm pretty bad off too. You thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? You thought I was going to say, after you get saved, you say, I just love her. No, you still hate her. You just have to pray and ask God to get it out of you. That's the difference. You see, here at this church, there's not too many of us that's as holy as some people are. Now, I know some people that haven't sinned in years and years and years. I don't know what they've got that I ain't got. But I find it very hard most of the time to be what I'm supposed to be according to what the Bible says. So you still get mad at people, you still hate them, but say, God help me, I shouldn't be like that. We're all just sinners saved by grace. The Lord's going to take us all to heaven. Get it out of my heart! That's the way you know you're saved. You have a new attitude. You have a new attitude. And it'll make you speak to the snob. It'll make you shake old Grouchy's hand. I tell you, man, when you get right with God, brother, it'll make you love somebody even though you hate them. You say, can you love and hate somebody at the same time? Well, anybody here that's married can tell you that's right. Really. Anybody here that's married knows that you can hate and love somebody at the same time. How many of you people that are married here this morning can testify that you can hate and love somebody at the same time? Raise your hand. Oh, my soul. Oh, I'll just give invitation right there. I'm telling you, brother, you have a new attitude. You have a new... Hit the nerve there, brethren. Now, y'all get to see a little bit what I see every Sunday. You can tell who the guilty ones are. Them that laugh the most. Trying to shake off that conviction. I tell you, brother, I tell you, have a new attitude. Did you know, as a matter of fact, that's a good way you... Listen, that's a way you prove you love your husband, because you get mad enough to kill him. How many of you ladies get madder at your husband than any other person in the world? All right, that means you love him. You say, no, it don't. It does, really. You can get madder at the person you love than any other person in the world. I've had him say, I can live with everybody else, but he makes me so mad. I could kill him. That's because you love him. You get madder at the people you love than anybody else. That's why churches have so much trouble. Brothers and sisters, they love each other, and they wind up hating each other. They love each other so much. Don't ask me how that is, but that's a new attitude. You know what? You're a schizo, brother. You're a good man living in a bad body. You still got the old flesh, but God put something new inside of you, and the flesh wants to do one thing, and the spirit wants to do another thing. When you're born again, you get a new attitude on the inside. All that, but you have a new activity. Your pastime, brother. You walk by faith, according to verse 7. You know, a lost man lives for this life only. He lays up treasures for this world, builds himself up in this life. But a saved man has a new activity. He ain't worried about... All I hear is people wanting a vacation, vacation, vacation. I want to go here. I want to go there. I want to go to Hawaii. I want to go to Jamaica. I want to go to the Bahamas. I want to go... I can't understand that. I cannot figure out what makes people want to run all over creation. It may be because I've traveled a little, run around preaching a lot, and personally, I'd just soon stay here in Maine, right here in this church, Nebo, as anywhere I've ever been in my life. I'm perfectly content and satisfied right now. I'd rather be right here, right now, than in Jamaica. You say, not me, I'd love to be in Jamaica. You know what, if you was in Jamaica, you wouldn't be happy. Because it ain't Nebo and Marion you're trying to run from. It's yourself. And if you went to Jamaica, you'd take that old dirty heart right with you, and you wouldn't be satisfied there either. If you can't be satisfied here, you wouldn't be satisfied. And how are you? Even if they let you be on TV. If you can't be satisfied at home, you couldn't be satisfied in Bermuda, brother, or somewhere like that. I'm telling you, you have a new activity. I heard a girl the other day in a store where we was at, and she was across the counter, and she said, oh, I'm going here, and I'm going here, and I'm on a vacation. I just love it, and the company's going to pay for it, and I'm going to stay in a motel, and all that stuff. And I thought, wow. You say, you're just jealous. I ain't jealous. I ran up to, I believe it was, I don't know where I was at, store somewhere, bank somewhere, the other day, and boy, he's leaning over the counter, and this girl said, "This here's your money here, and you're going on a vacation." He said, boy, I'd like to be. And I thought, Lord, that poor fella, I'd hate to be going on one. You say, what makes you think like that? I'm a new person. I feel sorry for them people going on vacations. What a trouble them things are. The reason I'm like that is because I like my job. I stay on vacation. I'm on vacation right now. You have a new activity. Now, I'm not saying you're backslid if you want to go see your family or go off somewhere. I'm just saying this. You have a new activity. You have something to keep you occupied. You have something to do with your mind. You have something to do with your body. There's activities you can get in. A Christian should never use the word bored, brother. There's always something to do. There's plenty to do. If you're here this morning, you're a Christian, and you are bored, see me after the service. I'll give you a list of things that long you can do that'll keep you busy 16 hours a day between now and next Sunday, and you'll have a new activity. Not only that, but you have a new attachment. You're constrained by love, verse 14. You're held tight by the love of Jesus. You know how? Because you love Jesus. Number six, I'm going to read the rest of these and I'm going to close. A new ambassage. You're an ambassador to deliver the message. If a man's a new creature in Christ, he has a desire inside of him to tell somebody else about the Lord. And then finally, a new assurance. You can know the future. You can know the future. Hallelujah! You know what's going to happen. I heard about in this newspaper one time, they put an ad in there and somebody had said, Emma, come home. Mama's hurting. Mama wants you. All is forgiven. Come home. And it was for a runaway, wayward daughter who had run away from home. And her mama put something in the paper and said, Emma, all is forgiven. Come home. But you know, there's people in this church this morning that are wayward, running from God. I've got a message here from the Lord. It said, all is forgiven. Come home. Lord Jesus wants to forgive you of everything. You quit running from Him, friend. There's somebody in this church, you're running from God. Sure as I'm sitting here, you're running from God, and you're sitting there. You're running from God. I got news for you. All is forgiven. The Lord wants to take you and fix you up if you'll let Him. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. While our song is being made ready this morning, Brother John's getting us a song. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. There may be somebody here. Say, Brother Danny, I'm ready for a new life. I want to be a new creature in Christ. We're going to give you an opportunity to come right now. Father, I pray the Holy Ghost of God will come on the scene here right now. Supernaturally, Lord, and do what we can't do. I ain't got no power to convict one person or save one soul. Lord, I know You do, and I pray You do that this morning for Your honor and glory. And we do love You, and we ask You, Father, that You would move in this invitation. Help that man, that woman, that boy, that girl who's in this service today, who's never been made a new creature, to come to Jesus right now, in whose name we do pray. Amen. Let's stand.